thank you for that. Just want to ask a question, and it's up to you if you respond or not. If you do respond out loud, please just make sure it's something that it's okay for you to say. So the question is, what is your biggest frustration? Anyone want to? That's a hard one, isn't it? Because sometimes it can be personal. Pain. Thank you. Absolutely. Very real response. A couple of people said yourselves, and someone said time, I think. There's just not enough of that, isn't there? We might start there, but I think you could probably think of other things. Thank you for responding. No one said Brexit. I did wonder, actually, about Leeds United. Not being a frustration in themselves, but for people who support Leeds. Maybe this will be the year. So long as they don't stop Aston Villa going up, then I think it might be okay. I wondered about supermarket shoppers who seem oblivious to the fact there's other people in the supermarket. And somehow they take up a whole aisle. We all get frustrated. And I think as we look at John 11, we can see something of why Mary and Martha would have been frustrated. Frustrated, why didn't Jesus come sooner to help their brother? If you've got John 11 open and you want to read from verse 1, that would give the fuller context. In a moment, I'm going to get to a verse that's on the screen. What took Jesus so long? Bethany and Jerusalem were not far away. They were about 2 miles apart. If we were to walk from here to Kirkstall Abbey and back, that would be further than the distance Jesus needed to travel. But Jesus dragged his feet. When he first heard about Lazarus being ill, he didn't even tell his disciples. He remained in Bethany whilst Mary and Martha watched their brother die. And death is a difficult subject, I acknowledge that. One reason for this delay was for God to be glorified. Verse 40, if you want to look at verse 40, gives us a clue into what that means. But in verse 4, which happened just before our reading, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." One reason for the delay was for Jesus to be glorified. Another reason for the delay we see in verse 14 is that the disciples may believe. And I think it's helpful for us to look at the wider context of John's gospel and ask, why did John write his gospel? And the answer to that is up on the screen for us. John chapter 20, verse 31. "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Jesus wants us to recognize who he is, just like he did with his disciples at the time. He wants us to believe in him as he did them. And that's the purpose John wrote his gospel. John, having been one of the disciples, believed. And he wanted the rest of us to have the same hope and faith in Jesus that he had. And Jesus' desire that the disciples may believe comes to pass. If you look at John 11, verse 45, it says, "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him." So it wasn't just the disciples who caught faith. It was others as well. And later on in John, it tells us that the people who witnessed Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead couldn't stop talking about it. You know what it's like when we've got good news to share? We just can't help it, can we? That's what it was like for them. They definitely believed. I realise I'm to-ing and fro-ing a lot. In verses 5 and 6, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days." Jesus was good friends with Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. The incident we heard about earlier that caused, it said about Martha worrying about many things. Well, that was because she was busy, wasn't she, when Jesus came round for hospitality. She was trying to do everything. That house, the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, was Jesus' go-to place when he was in the neighbourhood, because they provided hospitality. They were his friends. So why, if they were his friends and he loved them, why did he wait? Well, staying longer, it might be a little bit difficult to get our heads around, but it was an expression of Jesus' love. He wasn't just going to heal his sick friend. He was going to raise him from the dead. He was going to speak life back into a body that had stopped functioning several days earlier. That is love. That is power. And Jesus still, whether we've seen it or not, still has the power, still has the authority to raise people from the dead today. And he may even choose people like us to do that. Verse 33 tells us Jesus was moved and deeply troubled. We can only imagine what was going through his mind. And close to that, we've got the shortest verse in the New Testament, verse 35. Jesus wept. And this shows us how fully he entered into our humanity, being fully human, being fully God. Being fully human, he was fully able to empathize with our experiences. He was truly a man of sorrows, as Isaiah said he would be. Jesus' tears and him being moved and deeply troubled shows us that he felt the pain of a death he could have prevented, and he felt the loss of a close friend. Yet he surrendered to the will of the Father. Jesus was sad. His friend had died. And Jesus knew that he would have to die as well. There's a connection between this miracle and Jesus going to the cross. But Jesus was also mad. He was mad at what sin had done to the world. Andrew Page, who wrote the Mark drama that many of you would have seen, he says this: "It's not meant to be like this. We're not supposed to have funerals. The word bereavement shouldn't be in our dictionaries. Humankind's rebellion against God has resulted in the world being spoiled, which is why the word became flesh." Jesus was coming to make things right, to show his power. Lazarus needed to die, though, Jesus said, in order that some may believe. Interestingly, Jews believed that the spirit left a body after 3 days. So how amazing, how fitting that Jesus went after 4. Imagine the worst smell you've ever smelt. I don't know what that could be. Maybe when you've had a pot on your arm or something for ages and you take it off. That's horrible. There's other things you can think of. I won't ask for participation. But imagine what it would have smelt like. He'd been dead 4 days. Martha had faith, so did Mary. Martha knew that Jesus was the Messiah and Son of God. Mary knew and said that he could have prevented the death. But neither they nor the 12 could have known what Jesus was going to do or how. And leading up to the miracle, we have the words from our next slide, if that could go up, please. These wonderful words from Jesus. I don't know how well you can see them. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? John wants us to hear Jesus' claim and decide for ourselves if we believe. Do you believe this morning? This miracle and this amazing statement, I am the resurrection and the life, they were the beginnings of the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. They were the beginnings of him beginning to walk to his own death. There's a bit of an irony there, but thankfully in only two Sundays we can celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection, where his glory was fully revealed for all to see. And it's because of that that we can have life today. In the previous chapter, just for a bit of background, Jesus is talking about how he is the good shepherd. And he says the thief, talking about the devil, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That is love. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the way to life, and he is life itself. When we become Christians, we realize that we have been born again. We have a new life, only possible because Jesus is the life. I do want to acknowledge Mary's words in verse 32, where she said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Somebody said pain is a big frustration. Pain can take all kinds of different forms. But it could be that you are in a place of pain today. It could be that you're questioning God. It could be that he doesn't feel close. Or even if he does, you don't have a clue what he's doing. You might not know what his plans or purposes for you are in the situation that you find yourself in. You may be experiencing pain, question, or frustration today as well, as Mary was. And if that's you, I don't want to give a Bible verse as a sticking plaster, but I want to say God bless you, and may you know God's peace today, and may you know his purposes in the situation that you're in. I love this miracle. It might not be one that's common with our experiences of what God can do, but I love this miracle. Verses 43 and 44 say, Lazarus, come out. I love the shout there was earlier. And it says, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. This is a dead body, walking, getting up, listening, obeying. What power. And it's all because of who Jesus is. He is the resurrection and the life. He wasn't just saying the words, he was doing it. And all throughout this passage, we find invitations to believe in him. Jesus wants us to believe in him. John wants us to believe in Jesus. A person is for him or against. We have to make the choice. And he wants us to choose. He invites us to. Mary and Martha made up their minds about Jesus. They knew who he was, even before he'd raised their brother from the dead. No doubt Lazarus made up his mind as well. Jesus was way more than just a friend to Lazarus. But I wonder what you think. And I wonder what difference that makes to your daily life. What does Jesus mean to you? Jesus isn't just looking for an intellectual decision, an assertion. Oh yeah, I believe in that. This is a nice cup of tea. Did you watch the football? It's more. As the hymn says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Can we have the last slide up, please? This is from the DVD, a picture of the Jesus actor praying. And I know they made the Jesus actor white, which they probably shouldn't have done, but he did play the part well. If you ever get the chance to see the Gospel of John DVD, it's powerful. But there's an image there just to remind us of the fact. Jesus didn't just call Lazarus back to life. He prayed. And I want to say that in the time that he took waiting, that delay, I believe Jesus would have been praying. Because he had a close relationship with God the Father. And I love the verse that Levi read earlier. Verse 11 of John 11. Jesus went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going there to wake him up. I love the fact Jesus had friends, close relationships, which can be the same for us as well. We can have a close relationship with Jesus if we trust in him too. But it shows us that death is not beyond his power. He saw death as being like sleep. Do you remember Jairus' daughter who died? Jesus said, she's asleep. And he woke her up or brought her back to life, whichever. If we trust in Jesus, I want to say death is not the end. In some ways, although it's painful for those of us who are still here, if we lose someone, it's not really death at all, because we will be more alive than we have ever been when we enter into that condition. So there is a comfort for us when we remember Christians who have died, as painful as that may have been. We, like them, will one day be more alive than we've ever been. The result of this miracle, as I've said, is that many believed, not to mention a strengthening of faith for those in the story. In the next chapter, Mary shows her love and no doubt gratitude to Jesus as she anoints his feet. I wonder if this miracle of Jesus raising her brother back to life would have been on her mind as she was doing that. We can only imagine the joy of the sisters, the wonder of the disciples, the shock of the crowd, the confusion of Lazarus. I was ill. Who put these things on me? What's going on? When a miracle like this occurs, it gets attention. The Jewish council met at the end of our reading to talk about Jesus, to decide what to do about him. And the miracle was the beginning of the end of his life. Or so they thought. Can't wait till Easter Sunday. I've nearly finished, but there's a verse in Matthew I'd just like to briefly read. Matthew 10, verse 8. It says, Jesus commanded his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And he says, freely you have received, freely give. Jesus did these things and commanded his disciples to do the same. At the end of Matthew, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So as his disciples today, we might not encounter many people with leprosy, but we have that authority. We have that authority to do miracles, to pray for miracles and see them in the name of Jesus. We don't always understand why they don't happen, but the authority is ours, and the command is upon us as well to do the things that Jesus did. So if Jesus can heal the sick, drive out demons, raise the dead, and says we can as well, imagine what could happen in our lives, and imagine what could happen in a church. Jesus has the power and authority to do all these things. I just invite you to take a moment, please, to quietly think. You might want to quietly pray. First, what are some of the biggest challenges in your life? And second, what are some of the biggest challenges that South Parade Baptist Church faces? Just take a moment to bring them to mind. You might want to quietly pray as you do.